Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's Embiid. Shot clock down to 5. Wants to take Jokic. Step back 3. Hit it! 47 for Joel. Timeout, Denver.
Maybe Joel's finest moment of the season. Welcome back. It is the Mayday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. That was the last time Jokic and Embiid went head-to-head. They do it again tonight out in Denver. Who knows? Maybe an MVP is decided this evening. Let's get to our next guest. We'll get back to the phones here and have our discussion about Joel. But first, let's talk to Zach Bye, 104.3, the fan in Denver. He's joining us. Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio out in Philadelphia. How you doing, Zach?
Zach.
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Monday, boys.
Happy Monday. So, Zach, I feel like being a little hot takey right now. So, who is the MVP going to be decided tonight between these two guys?
Well, you guys got to help me. Is Joel Embiid going to play tonight?
Of course he is.
He'll play.
Yeah,
he'll play.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, assuming good health and that calf doesn't hold him out, I do think that tonight could decide the MVP. I mean, us as people have recency bias. You know, you think of even last year's NFL MVP. It was neck and neck with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and Brady has a total blow-up game down the stretch of the season where he throws four interceptions. Rodgers had the same game, but it came in week one, and that ended up splitting the two according to the odds that Monday morning when we woke up. And despite Joel Embiid severely outplaying Nikola Jokic in the last matchup, on national TV, where I think he went for 48-18, 47-18, something like that, and just totally took over the second half of that game, I think people will remember tonight just a little bit more in focus than they remembered that game in January. And, guys, tonight I believe that game's on NBA TV, so a lot of eyeballs are going to be on that game coast to coast. So I think it could have a heavy hand on that scale in deciding the MVP.
Zach, do you sense there is a push or a feeling that we really can't give Nikola Jokic three consecutive MVPs? Do you guys feel that out there, that nationally they're looking to not give the award to Jokic again?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I certainly feel that. I'm the biggest basketball guy at the station, and trying to explain that there is that sentiment to my co-host, Brandon Stokely, saying that, hey, Stoke, like, look, again, human beings are voting on this thing, and it's basketball people voting on this, okay, that cast those votes with integrity and take themselves and that vote pretty seriously. They do not feel good about voting him MVP two consecutive years and going 1-8 in playoff games. Now, of course, guys, context is king. Okay, Jokic's team wasn't nearly whole. No Michael Porter Jr., no Jamal Murray. Those are two max players. Like, take the two next best players off Philly, and what chance do you have? It's a team sport. But that being said, again, people don't feel good about it, that you're going to put him in the same class as Larry Bird and Bill Russell when he hasn't been to an NBA Finals before. The Nuggets in general have never been to an NBA Finals in their franchise history. So I think the past is playing a role in the present, even though we're supposed to have the wisdom to view the present in a total vacuum, because this is a regular season award, and sins of the playoff past should not be held against Jokic in this conversation. But the fact of the matter is that they will to certain voters.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that he's probably potentially not going to win his third MVP because he hasn't made it out of the first round? Basically, that's what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that it bothers voters that they voted this guy for MVP, and each of the last 2 years he hasn't been out of the first round. He's been to the Western Conference Finals, but you got to go back 3 seasons. So I think it bothers voters that the guy that they're saying is the league MVP hasn't been able to advance out of the first round, and that just rubs people the wrong way when they're about to cast that vote for a third consecutive year. I think the past is a part of the present.
So it has nothing to do with the dad bod or the way the punchable face or anything like that, because I've heard a few people say that was the issue as well.
Hey, look, this one has gotten contentious to a degree that I don't think is healthy for the sport. I mean, if you are watching Jokic, and I'm a big league pass guy. I watch Embiid. That guy is freaking fantastic and having what feels like a Shaquille O'Neal type of season. But Jokic, if you have eyes on it and you know what you're looking at, I think only maybe a healthy LeBron James completely controls a game on the offensive end the way that Jokic does. I mean, we're talking about a 50-win team with a handful of games left. He's, you know, averaging 25, 12, and 10. He averages more steals on the other end than, you know, all NBA defender Drew Holiday or even James Harden. Think about that. You guys watch Harden every night. Jokic averages more steals than Harden. And I get the frustration from fans and the way that it sort of took a little bit of an ugly turn a couple weeks ago. But I'll say this, man, I am not in the business of pushing someone's head down to raise someone else's. We are seeing historic seasons across the NBA with Jokic, with Embiid, with Giannis at the very top. But there's three or four other guys that are having under-the-radar historic seasons. The NBA in general is crossing into new territory where we're seeing numbers that we've never really seen before. So I think we're seeing – and think about this, guys. It wasn't too far long ago. It was like the death of the center in the NBA. The three leading vote-getters – I know Giannis isn't so much of a traditional center, but they're three centers, and they're three great players. And I think this thing could fall any of three different ways, really maybe two at the top. And I think the backstretch of this season, these last 7-8 games, still are being put on the scale of this really, really actually historic MVP race, probably the closest we had in about 5 years.
We're talking to Zach By, 104.3, the Fan out in Denver, as we talk about the MVP race. And, of course, tonight, Jokic against Embiid, big game for both teams. So, Zach, how do you qualify this? Because I think as when we say MVP in every sport, we all have a different meaning to that, right? Our brains go to a different area, and it's why we prop up one guy versus the other. And I'm looking at the three of them in front of me here, all their numbers. And if you, depending on what your criteria is, you could give it to either, right? Jokic has the most rebounds, the best, you know, at numbers, in terms of percentages, shoots the highest percentage, most efficient. And Embiid's got the best counting stats. Giannis, and when he's played some less games, but he has the highest winning percentage when he plays, and his team is the best. Zach, what is the, for you, forget Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid, just what is the NBA MVP for you?
Holy moly. I mean, what a wide open-ended question. We could do a half-hour podcast on this. For me, I think it's who has the most direct line for their personal success that leads to team success. And with all three of these guys, they have a pretty strong case. And so I think I personally put the, like, if I were creating an MVP argument, I would think of like four legs of a chair. And one of them is your success and that direct line to team success. And then I look at your stats, your raw stats. And then I'll look at your advanced stats. And then I look at the eye test. And I think for those things, and particularly when the advanced stats start to come into play, where you look at usage rate, and Jokic has the ball far less than a lot of these guys, but produces to an even higher level. You look at on-off numbers. How does your team play when you're not out there? How does your teammates do around you? I'm looking at four Denver Nuggets having the most efficient seasons of their careers playing next to this guy. I'm looking at just general efficiency. Think about this. You guys watch Embiid all the time, just like I do. Embiid puts the ball in the hoop a lot, man. That guy is really efficient on the offensive end. Jokic is shooting nearly 10 percentage points higher. And then when you look at true shooting percentage, you're talking about someone who's shooting over 70% from the floor. Guys, we've never seen that before, like ever. And this is a non-dunker. This is a guy who might dunk one time a game. So for all of those reasons, I have Jokic as the league's MVP, number one seed in the Western Conference, averaging a triple-double. Like, think about that statement. Jokic is averaging a triple-double for a 50-win one seed. That's a really hard statement to push back on, But that doesn't mean you can't give it pushback, because Embiid has been phenomenal. He's a better defender than Jokic. I give him that. But the full comprehensive picture, I still have Jokic's season just a barely tick better than Embiid and Giannis. But I think reasonable minds truly can disagree on this one.
Well, you know, I have a question for you. You know, watching as much basketball as you do, is this team, this Sixers team right now, presently constructed, do you think that they have enough to win a championship with?
No. And my answer to that, it has less to do about Joel Embiid and more about historically what the Sixers' second best player looks like when everything's on the line. James and Zach Lowe did a deep dive from this from ESPN, did a deep dive of all the high leverage moments of James Harden's entire career. He is arguably the worst version of himself the higher the leverage moment gets. And I would be deeply concerned about that if I'm a Sixers fan. I like the Sixers. Take away October, and they're probably the best team in the NBA. But I question, when the slate gets wiped clean and the whole world is watching, who James Harden is in those moments. And then conversely, let me put the shoe on the other foot, fellas. Mm. I'm deeply concerned about the Nuggets. Is Jamal Murray the second best player on a title team? I know the history of this league. Your second best player on a title team is at bare minimum, an all-NBA player, if not a Hall of Famer. And fellas, 3 out of 4 times, your second best player on a title team is, in fact, a Hall of Famer. Their names are Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade and Pau Gasol or Kobe Bryant in the early 2000s, whoever was Robin that year for Tim Duncan, whether it was David Robinson or Kawhi Leonard or Manu or Parker. Like, you go through the history of this league, you need top-tier blue-blood talent at your core. Jamal Murray's never made an All-Star game. So I had serious questions about Denver's championship profile the same way that I have questions about Philly's profile.
Zach, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Tonight's going to be fun. Sixers and the Nuggets out west tonight. Zach, appreciate it. We'll chat again soon. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Okay. Sounds good, guys. See ya.
There you go. Zach Bye, 104.3 The Fan out in Denver. How about that?
That was a lot to digest. I don't know if I believe that. You know, I hear what he's saying about James Harden, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything. History doesn't have to hold weight in this situation.
Well, it doesn't. I think Harden's played better basketball this year than we've seen. Now, he's banged up now, which obviously impacts things. But
yeah, Tyrese Maxey's playing well.
He is.
Well down the stretch.
Boy, though, as we have this discussion today about not believing Joel's a championship player, he laid out the history of James Harden. Every time I want to feel good, it's like I get smacked in the face.
That was a punch. That was a little bit of a gut punch.
He's saying what we're all thinking, though. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but this whole time, and I've heard it all over this station, everybody that calls in, they're, oh, this is, you know, James Harden looks like the best version that we've seen of him in a Sixers uniform. Man, it's freaking March, okay? Like, I want to see it in June when it really matters. Like, I'll believe it when I see it with this team. I'm almost at a point of fatigue where I was with the Phillies in the middle of last season. Like, you know what? It's been 10 years. If they do make the playoffs, like, then, you know, okay, I'll believe it. But it's the same thing with the Sixers team. Get past the first, or get past the second round, and then start talking to me.
They're trying to uplift him, man. They're trying to make him feel
Harden.
Good.
Yeah, come on.
They're trying to make him feel good.
Yeah, the Phillies might be the thing that I think has people like, maybe the Phillies did it, so can the Sixers. Well,
it's different.
Yeah, it's not, but we can make it believe it is. 215-592-9494. Mitch is in Phoenix. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, I was at the game Saturday night. They only come here once a year, and I knew late in the year somebody wasn't going to play, either Harden or Embiid. And, of course, I didn't get to see Harden. But let me tell you something. As far as being tired, other than Maxey, that entire team was tired Saturday night. Not only were they tired, it just looked like they couldn't wait to get back on the airplane and go to Denver. It was just a bad, bad game to watch.
Yeah, they were out of it, Mitch, from the start. I mean, obviously the night before, it's a back-to-back. So it was a tough spot. I mean, I think we kind of realized that going in. It was a tough spot for them Saturday.
Well, the Suns were on a back-to-back, too. They played a young Oklahoma team, and they were missing their center. He's not the best center in the league, but he's the center. And then they got this guy that's basically been a bench player his whole career, you know, doing a job on Embiid, but not only him, the coach did a job. They set up this wall with 3 people that Embiid had no clue where to go, right, left, back, forward. He was completely confused and sluggish.
So what do you think, Mitch, on all this? You're an NBA guy. You love the sport. You think Embiid's a championship player?
Well, you should be asking this question. not if Embiid is a championship player. Are the Philadelphia 76ers a championship team? And the answer is no.
Yeah, and I understand. Well, you're probably right. But those things go hand in hand, Mitch. They do go hand in hand. He's the lead dog.
They only go hand to hand with a handful of players. And that would be LeBron, Michael Jordan, Curry, and I'm sure I'm missing a few others. When you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, this is what management screwed up on. Drummond was the best backup the Sixers have had since they've had Embiid as their center. And they let him go to Brooklyn. He's got nothing backing him up.
Yeah, I agree, Mitch. But, and we appreciate the phone call. They're not going to win or lose a title based on their backup center.
No, it's about what Embiid does. And I know what I'm saying to a lot of people is not fair. And I understand and acknowledge that basketball is way different than football.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you're considered the guy, and I know you get nights off and everything, that is not an excuse for you to give, in my opinion. That you're tired is not an excuse. Even if it's true, that's not an excuse for you to give.
Yeah, and it's interesting when we talked to our last guest from Denver, he mentioned how tonight could go a long way. You asked him, is it decided tonight? I mean, I think it is. I think he's right that people will remember tonight's game. It's the last time they play each other.
Yeah, because it's a head-to-head matchup. It's still up in the air. And I think that even though, your calf is sore and beads, you got to show up and show out. You have to.
Yeah, and it's not much separating these guys. I know everyone, like people like Elliot want to make it out like these guys are on the same level. It's pretty darn close. I mean, it's been close the entire year. So tonight goes a long way to decide this. Rob is a Delco. What's up, Rob?
Yo, guys, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, Rob.
You got talking off the ledge. You're back on the ledge again.
You were off the ledge like 3 weeks ago.
I know. I'm back on again. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple reasons why, okay? One, that loss the other night pissed me off against, you know why? Not only was Phoenix missing their center, who's more than serviceable, they're missing arguably one of the best players in the league.
I know.
Kevin Durant. And they still beat us by 20. It's inexcusable. Inexcusable. I mean, that's a team that quit, that packed it in, that again is showing me they're not going to get out of the second round again. And when I hear things like Kyle Quinn saying, and be deflecting excuses why they got bounced. And you guys mentioned about, being tired or this and that. They're not things I hear from championship players. He's definitely not a championship player. He's a stat filler, but he's not a championship player until he shows me otherwise. I heard a story, guys, about, and I know it's tough to compare people to the greats, to Kobe. A couple days after he got bounced from the finals, okay, they said he was in the gym 5 o'clock the next morning, a couple days later in the morning, working on his game because it was eating at him. Does it eat at these guys? You know what I mean, Joe? Do you think it eats at Embiid when he gets bounced in the second round? Or does he go home to his, 10-bath, 8-bedroom house, and he don't give a crap?
No, I don't think he burns to win the way some other guys have.
And see, this is where people need to realize and understand is that when you make comments like that, when you say you're tired and things of that nature, it validates what people automatically assume about you as a player. That's the issue. That's where I have the problem, is because just by you asking that question, it might bother him, and I think it does. But because he says certain things, whether it's right or wrong, people judge him by his actions.
Yeah.
And some of the things.
And Rob, I know you said it may not fair. Rob, we appreciate it. It may not be fair, Hugh, to compare him to Kobe and those guys. But if you look back, since I think the beginning of the 90s. Excuse me, one of Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Duncan, Curry, or Giannis has been in basically every finals. The great players go back and win them all the time. It is fair. It is a sport where you compare the greats to other greats because that's who wins. Ike is in Southwest Philly. Ike wants to talk about Joel Embiid. What's up, Ike?
Yo, what's up, y'all?
What's up, Ike? What are you feeling?
No, this is I got a little beef to pick with people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I get a little angry with it. I look at people like they're people. This Sixers schedule, not just back-to-back, they've been out 7 out of 8 straight road games.
Mm-hmm.
They came home for a quick second. Everybody knew that March was going to be a crazy month.
Yes.
With the opponents they was playing, and they was playing 12 out of 15 on the road. Everybody said that this was crazy, a crazy schedule that the NBA gave. So to me, I'm looking at it as, okay, I can see he's tired. It's not a problem hearing him say it, but he ain't playing like he's tired. At 46, he put on a Golden State.
Well, but he did play like he was tired on Saturday, and he said he was.
Yeah, and he had 28. He had no help except Maxey, and I've heard you do. Maxey playing pretty well, and I know sometimes it seems like we give more love to the secondary player or the role player.
That's how it always is, bro.
That's true.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
If you look at the Golden State game, Maxey he came up a little short down the end too.
Well, yeah, you're right. But they're not going to win it. They're not going to win a title.
Yeah,
on
and
Maxey.
See, you know what, Ike? To your point. I've said it's not fair. It's not fair to put all this on Joel Embiid. But that's the nature of the beast. It's unfair, man. You know that. You know,
I know
everything that we're talking about is not fair.
I just got to push back on some of the narratives.
Respect.
Like, for some reason, we push down all our – not going to say – I know that's a narrative. We push down on a lot of our stars until they either kiss our behinds and say what we want them to say or they win. But no, let's be honest.
But here's the thing, and this is the thing, man. You have, whether you like it or not, you got to play the game. Like,
and
you
playing.
He can't, but you can't. Like, it's certain things that you just can't say, what you about to say? You got it. What you about to say?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I cutting you off.
It's like you got to play the game because people like me on the radio show, we're gonna pick up on that and we're gonna say stuff, even if it's not right. That's the narrative.
Even if it ain't true, this man been killing all year. Last year, he was playing. Everybody talk about not clutch. I swore he made a clutch shot against Toronto to end that series.
And what happened the next round?
About to go there. Then he got a cheap shot that broke his face. That people say, oh, he always get hurt. So it's his fault that the dude threw a dirty shot and broke his face?
Yes.
Oh,
no, not,
okay.
Not really, not really, man.
How did he play in the next round the night he found out he didn't win the MVP?
He had a bad game. He's human. But the thing I'm trying to say is
that's fine. What is this human thing? What is this human thing? As if no one said he's not human. I don't care if he's a human or an alien. He's either a championship player or he's not. Is he a championship player, Ike?
No, this is the truth. Y'all come up with some. Y'all have expectations of players that you don't
no,
have.
Ike,
No,
here's what
but,
it is.
But,
Ike,
but
here's
Ike, to
the
that
reality.
Point, he's not regular.
There are separators, Ike. I don't know why this is so hard to understand. What, Patrick,
don't do that, man.
Don't do what?
I understand. I know that he's a star, and I know he has a higher level to get to. And he does do that on the majority of
wonderful.
Time.
Wonderful. Ike, that's wonderful.
Honest.
But guess
it's
what? Every generation. Stop it. Deep breath. Every generation, Ike. Every generation has players that are great players that don't win.
Yo, you changed, Joe. You really got on this thing right now, man. That's corny.
Do you think he's a championship player?
You don't. Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
there you go. I was waiting for you to say it.
I thought everything I'm saying is saying it without
no,
saying
No, what you're saying
it.
Is you're giving
it.
Excuses. Tell me why.
Excuses? It's not, some things is not called excuses. It's called reasons.
Why is he a champ? Say it.
Excuses are the same thing. Could be the same thing, just depending on how you twist it.
Why is he a championship player?
Because
he's a great player?
Because he's a great player,
uh-huh.
And he plays great. Like,
those guys. Obviously, this is going over people's heads sometimes. There's a lot of great players. Dan Marino was a great player.
No,
it wasn't close to a championship player. Got to one Super Bowl, and then the rest of his career was almost a waste of time.
I appreciate your passion, man. I think, I respect the fact that you're riding for Joel Embiid like that. I mean, I really do. But I think that a lot of what we're talking about is kind of getting lost in translation. A lot. It's everything that he's right to a certain extent. It's not fair. But when you're considered a player of his caliber, a generational talent, a lot of things that people are asking you to do might not be considered fair. And you're going to be criticized even when you shouldn't be criticized.
That's how we separate the best.
Yes, but that exactly. That's why he gets all the criticism. Is because he's such a special player, and there's more expected of him, even if he can't give anymore. That's how it works, man.
That's always the way it's worked in the NBA. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. We'll get to all your calls on Embiid, the MVP race. Is he a championship player? Lot to do. And there is a 1 o'clock hour. We will have both Eskins on, which is just going to be awesome. Spike and then Howard will join us in the 1 p.m. hour right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a virus, and, you know, all during, like, pregame film, you can hear him sneezing and sneezing and sneezing. And you try to ignore it and, like, just coach through it and show the plays the pregame tape. But I'd be lying if I were to tell you it wasn't completely on my mind as I'm talking to the team, showing the tape, listening and seeing him.
The voice of Brett Brown. We haven't heard that voice on WIP in a while. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio.
Like, he was shook a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of sneezing by Joel.
Sneezing and sneezing and sneezing.
I was going to say I remember exactly when that was, but I feel like that happened more than once. Like, I don't remember exactly when that issue was, that Joel was sneezing. Or
is it the anti-flu game that we call it?
Oh, yes, that was it. Welcome back. Midday Show, 215-592-9494. All right, I'll get back to the lines in a second here as we debate Joel Embiid and if he is a championship player or not. But I did want to give a shout-out. Hugh, you mentioned it to me in the break, so I want to make sure we set it on the air. A congratulations to Jack Fritz and his wife, Jill. Their baby was born over the weekend.
Yes, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, Walker Jacob Fritz was born on Saturday at 6:07. So Jack, of course, started doing Fritz at 6, his new show, so that is that's perfect.
The 07 is also perfect, too, because it feels like that's the start time for every Phillies baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's never like 05. It's always 07 in France in LA, as they always like to say.
So he's
right
a young
on time.
Pitcher. Young pitcher. Young
yeah,
pitcher.
Walker. But, the name Walker, like, wouldn't you want him to be, like, Striker? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
he's walking. You know what
well, Walker, Buell, Walker? Walker Buehler's pretty good, the Dodger
okay.
pitcher.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, but I agree with you. That's like, you don't want to
I mean, like, Painter is a much better pitcher's name than
yes.
a Walker is, you know?
So you think maybe Dad got overruled by Mom on the let's just name it to be
yeah,
a baseball player?
Yeah, because I think Jack would be a little more savvy, baseball savvy, to know that, you know.
Yes.
That's awesome, man. Kids are awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats to Jack.
Their first child. So congratulations and welcome You think? Here's my question. Do you think Walker is streaming WIP in his hospital room right now? He better be.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Dad's probably listening.
Making
I would
sure.
Not, I would not doubt that. Wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, make sure Walker knows what's going on about Joel Embiid.
Probably got Sixers money line tonight.
Yeah,
too.
Oh, I'm sure. I think he had some bets in the tournament if I know Walker right. All right, back to the phones here. Let's talk to who we got. We got Frank and Sewell. What's up, Frank?
Hey guys, how are you?
What's going on?
Hey,
man?
Frank.
I'm good. Just driving up to work. Long drive, but so wanted to chime in. First off, I can give you a good Embiid impersonation if you want to hear it.
Sure.
And I didn't hear exactly what he said, but I'm just going to go with this one.
Everything okay. It's this time of year that, you know, you play so many games and, you know, your feet get sore and you're a little tired, but I think I'll be okay for playoffs, and I don't think it will affect me too much.
Where would you rate that, Hugh?
Was that my gosh, terrible. It's
and,
awful.
Not quite terrible. Joe Conklin, I will say that, Frank, but yeah, funny nonetheless.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been following Joe Conklin since he started in 1986 when he was on with WCAU, worked for Terry
Young and Motorman. Yeah, we're going back to that. I love the Conklin Embiid, by the way. The Conklin's got a great Embiid.
See, I haven't heard that.
Yeah,
I haven't heard
it's good.
Back to Hugh Douglas. I'm sorry. Hugh Douglas.
Oh, so now you're auditioning?
I already got my stamp approval. I've been doing voices since I was 10 years old.
I got you.
I had Terry Young joking me, telling me he was going to have me come in when Joe was sick. I had him cracking up before back in the day.
Oh, well, if we need a backup Conklin, we'll keep on speaking.
So you are auditioning.
I think he is.
I think he is auditioning a little bit.
I've told people my whole life I do a lot of voices, and I'll say this on the air. I do a lot of voices better than him, but he's funnier. I'm not a comedian.
Well, he is funny. Frank, what are you thinking on Embiid? What's your perspective here? Is he a championship player?
So I just heard about the tired thing, and I'm a big Embiid fan since I saw him, you know, first play. I told you guys a couple weeks ago. And I bashed him sometime on Facebook because I know he could be great. If he would have, like, the mentality of, like the Greek Freak or something, like, I don't know what his ceiling could be. But, you know, I don't think he plays 100%, you know, defense all the time, and that bothers me. I'm okay when he's shooting threes anymore. To be honest with you, he's a really great shooter. So I'm okay with that. But my thing is, I'm always worried about him. You know, he had the injuries last year. They were pretty legit, right? He had the eye and the hand, right? But my thing is, when I hear him say tired, you know, like, what, 2-3 weeks before the playoffs, it's almost like a built-in excuse, like, yo, like, I'm great during a regular season, but, you got a good team, but I don't know, you know, if I'm going to, you know, feel, you know, 100% in the playoffs, so don't commit me if I turn the ball over and, you know, have a couple bad games and we lose a series. It's almost like he's pampering himself, and I don't like that. It's scary.
See, and this is the thing, because at this time of year, like, whatever playoffs you want to pick, Stanley Cup playoffs, the Super Bowl, whatever, everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's tired. You're no different than anybody else that's playing in the game.
Yep.
And that's why it just, to me, it doesn't sound right. You know, and that's what I'm getting people to understand, trying to understand.
Right.
It just to me, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, are we gonna see him? Are we gonna see him now, like, in the second half of games, like, you know, like, frequently, like, you know, bent down, like, grabbing onto his shorts now? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm worried about now, you know?
Well, Frank, I am too. And, Frank, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, I'll just spin it back to two of the other superstars in this city. Could we imagine Bryce Harper or Jalen Hurts talking like that? I can't, especially Jalen Hurts. I mean, Hugh, he was hurt last year. He played the last regular season game and obviously all two playoff games of the Super Bowl hurt. He didn't even want to talk about it. He just said, yeah, I'm dealing with something. And that was it. And he just went out there and played.
Yeah, because it's like a built-in excuse. And I understand, you know, this to me is starting to feel like a little bit of a generation gap. Like seriously, it feels to me like, you know, people are more, I guess, empathetic to the player than they were when I was playing.
I agree with that. I agree.
And it's, to me, it's fascinating. And you could feel the way that you feel. I'm not sitting here trying to get you to feel a certain kind of way, because I understand what you're saying, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. This is what I'm telling you, what I know. And as a former player, when you hear somebody say that, even if it's true, it doesn't sound right. That's the bottom line. And it's not fair. And people want to talk about the human aspect of it. I get that part about it, but it's not an excuse that you could use. It's not supposed to be fair. You know, people get mad, you know, when you go to colleges and and athletes get treated different than the regular students and they get to eat in the nicest cafeterias and stuff like that. That's not fair, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you deal with it, and you keep it moving. Like you used to say, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, and this is the game. I mean, this is the NBA. I think you're right. I think you are spot on about the generation gap. You know what I notice that sometimes we have these conversations? Sometimes we'll have a conversation like this. We'll be discussing Joel Embiid, and is he a championship player? This kind of thing.
And people get mad.
Well, I notice this, and I can't always guess the age of someone when they call our show. I mean, I might be able to guess close, but I think we could say this. The people that call us, I think for the most part, are probably a little bit older than the people who just respond on social media.
Yes.
Just probably the way it goes, right? Most of the people that call us on this, or a lot of them, are with you and I on this. That there's something off. They're not sure he's a championship player. They're worried about it, all that. And then people respond online or wherever, social media, and they're younger. And they're like, well, he's great. Leave him alone. There is a generation gap with the way we talk about star players. It's different.
Yeah, and I get that. But at the same time, you know, you try to give a little background of why you feel the way that you feel. And I come from an era where there were no built-in excuses, especially when it came to the playoff push. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's a little tired. And I remember Coach saying, hey, do what you have to do to get ready to play. That's what it is, because we understand you're banged up. If you need to take a little time off, do that. But you have to be ready to play, because I'm going to need whatever it is that you have during this playoff run. And when you say things of that nature, even if it's true, and I know some people understand that, it still doesn't sound right. It just doesn't. It sounds like a built-in excuse. That's almost, to me, that's the same as you saying in your regular everyday job. Say, hey, boss, I know you want that paperwork done by Friday, or you need that presentation by Friday, but I'm a little tired. You know, the kids, they were jumping all over me this weekend. So just letting you know that it might not be there because of this. So if it's not there, you know why? Because the kids was acting up this weekend. Yeah. Little Timmy was sick. He had a stomach flu. Yeah, he ain't trying to hear that. The presentation's Friday.
You got to make the presentation.
You got to make it happen. That's all I'm saying.
So the backdrop of what he was saying there. This was a quote for Saturday night. And by the way, I'm going to read you what Joel Embiid had to say Saturday after the loss to the Suns. From all accounts, he's going to play tonight. Right? He's going to play. He's going to play Nikola Jokic. Despite this is what he said Saturday. Quote: I'm going to need one, and he meant game, off pretty soon. It's two things. Like I said, it's all about being healthy for the playoffs. You know, like tonight, I was very sloppy. Usually when I'm sluggish and sloppy, that means I'm tired. Like you said, I've been playing a lot of minutes. I've been playing every single game. Like, there's a disconnect between what is the priority here, Joel? I mean, like, take tonight off. Like, if it's all about the playoffs, don't play tonight. And we all know he's going to play tonight.
Tonight is the night for him where he could really prove, like, put his money where his mouth is. Like, what do you care about, Joel? The MVP or being healthy for playoffs? If he really does care about being healthy for the playoffs, then, I mean, I hate to say it because we're all talking about the MVP, but tonight is the night to sit out. And yeah. Like, I mean, it's the last.
You can't sit out tonight. You gotta go.
I'll put a lot of money that he's going to play.
Yeah, you got to play tonight. It's right here.
And well, all right. So which one is the one that he sits out? Because they play the Mavericks next, and then it's the Raptors, but then they got to go Bucks and Celtics. So I would think that the night off comes from either Wednesday or Friday.
Yeah.
Mavericks or Raptors.
I agree. He doesn't usually like to sit at home, but that would make the most sense, right?
Yeah.
Before the Bucks game. Either way, the night after saying you're tired, that's the night. It's frustrating. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Anthony at Springfield. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, Joe?
And what's going on, man?
What's up, man? What are you feeling?
I don't get. So because he played 38 minutes on Friday night against a Warriors team that you know runs that motion offense and you have to chase people around all night, and he said that he's tired the next night, that means that he's not one of the top five players in the league?
No, no one says he's not a top five player.
So you're picking apart everything that I just presented right before you got on the line. I made it as clear as I possibly could.
So Joe said that he's not a championship player.
I don't think he is.
You want to know why he's not a championship player? Let me go through some names. Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Furkan Korkmaz, Dario Saric, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, trading away Jimmy Butler, Zaire Smith. You know what championship teams do? They draft well. They put the right players around the guy. This guy hasn't played with the same roster in two consecutive years since the day he came in the league. 1 year, it's Ben Simmons and Josh Richardson, and they offer Horford. 1 year is Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons. Then they get rid of Jimmy Butler and they bring in Seth Curry.
Do you know what I heard, Anthony? I was writing all those down, but I was spelling them different than you. I was spelling them E-X, and I'm spelling out the word excuse.
Because you're,
excuses.
You're a clown. Excuses. You're a clown. You're talking like a clown.
When did this get personal?
Yeah, like, why are you mad at me? Anthony, I don't buy it.
Two number one picks that can't shoot the ball is an excuse.
Anthony,
why somebody's not successful?
We had a caller a few minutes ago. I'm not sure if you heard him. This is the only city in America. The only city in America that thinks backup centers win championships. It is the most ridiculous.
Did I mention the backup?
No,
center?
No. But we're mentioning the other player,
picks.
Anthony. He's got. He
picks.
Has James. Is James Harden one of the 75 best players to ever live?
He had him for a year and a half. So we don't even know what happened this year yet.
He's got him
he
right
had
now.
Him for half a season with a bad hamstring last year.
Okay, Anthony. They puttered out in the second round like last year, like losers. I mean, that, let's just be real. They played like losers in the second
and
round
who was
last
the worst
year.
Player in the court on that time, James Harden on one leg, right?
Yeah, and
the guy
who and
the
who
guy you're giving me? That's who you give me, James Harden on one leg.
So Anthony, go put up a poster in your house and say he's the greatest player you ever saw, but he didn't play with anybody.
That's not what I said, though. So you're dissecting what I said. That's not what well, you said I did in the beginning of this call is what you're doing now. That's not what I'm saying. You're totally discrediting the fact that they failed this kid from an organization standpoint since the day he came in here.
Okay.
He hasn't had the same roster in two consecutive years. Did Michael Jordan play with the same players? Not comparing him to Jordan, obviously, but did Michael Jordan play with the same
No,
year?
No, Anthony, I have a rule. I have a rule. You compare him to Jordan, you're out. He's gone. He's gone. I used to have a rule, Hugh.
I'm just trying to figure out, when did this all get personal?
So I used to have a rule. This reminds me of during the Carson Wentz thing.
Yes.
When people used to call in and compare him to Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, you're gone. You're gone. Out. No more. I can't. I can't.
Hey, when did this environment become so hostile, Kyle? What happened?
As soon as the mics went on, as soon as 10 a.m., as soon as the clock turned 10 a.m.
What's the quote? You can't handle the truth. We're giving people the truth today.
Oh, my goodness. I don't understand why it got so
I don't know. Let's talk to Jerry. Jerry's a nice little levity here to the conversation. What's up, Jerry?
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon,
what's going
Jerry.
On, man?
You know what? There's nothing wrong with Joel that a little maturity wouldn't take care of. Joel's got everything you need to be a championship player, except for two things. The squad that he's around, the caller before, I know he's out in left field and everything, but he got one thing right. Joel hasn't played with the same roster since he's been in the league.
Does anyone know anymore, Jerry, in the NBA play with the same roster?
Yeah.
Who?
Take a look at Milwaukee.
But they've had a lot of change around the two stars. They've had three guys,
no,
right?
No, they haven't. Up until this year with Crowder. But up until this year, they haven't. Drew Holiday, Middleton, and Giannis.
Talking about the core guys.
Right, they're core guys. Has Joel played now how many years? Five? With Tobias Harris?
Actually, I'm getting away from my point.
No, I know, let me finish this because I want to make sure people understand what I'm saying. I would say in the NBA, every team other than your two or three best, right? And obviously the Simmons thing was unique here, but that evolves and changes all the time. Look at the Nets. Look at the Maverick. It's the NBA. These guys request trades and go in free agency all the time. Teams don't stay together for 5 years, like a core of more than three or four guys.
Well, that makes a difference. But what my point was, Joel has a maturity problem. That's the whole thing. To Hugh's point, he's talking about being tired. You don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel it. I know everybody in the league at this time of the year is
Everybody's tired.
Yeah, but you don't say it. And Joel just, he has a serious problem with whatever comes to his mind. That's what goes through his mouth. And at 8 years into the league, you ought to know better. You ought to know better.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that, Jerry. And we agree on that point. And that's the point, you, that I can't get past. Like, he's the leader, and he just lets that stuff slip out.
And again, I can't stress how it isn't fair. It isn't fair to heap all of this on him, but that is the nature of the beast. You can't, like, man, listen, there's been times where – I want to say everything that comes to my mind, but I can't because I already know what the consequences will be. I mean, and
we all have those moments.
Yeah, and you can't. And this is the thing that gets me about fandom is that for some people, they don't even understand it on that simplest level. There's time you want to go to work and your boss might say something and you might want to say something flippant, like real flip. You can't do it because you already know how that's going to play out, you know, or anything like that. So you just can't do it, man. You got to be tactful, especially as a professional athlete, because there's a lot of times that when you say stuff, even though it might be truthful and you might be forthcoming, that the average person is not going to understand and they're going to take it a certain kind of way.
Yeah, and here's my perspective on what we're talking about today. I feel like the conversation and how upset people are getting today with some people are agreeing with us, Hugh.
Some people mad for
yeah,
real.
Yeah, because it's touching a nerve, because deep down they know he's not a championship player and it hurts. Like, I want him to be. We all want him to be. But the evidence so far tells me he's not a championship player. There's a difference between a great player and a championship player. Like, there is. If they win tonight, and we've had a couple people say this, and we're going to have Spike Eskin join us at 1 o'clock, and he's the biggest MB guy I know. He even said it in the commercial he did a few minutes ago. Tonight decides it. Like, if he plays great tonight, he's probably going to win the MVP, and that's great. But that's different than championship player.
Yeah, it is. I think you've been saying
it could springboard him.
I definitely believe that it can springboard him. It's just that this, man, I'm rooting for Joel Embiid. But I also, you know, sometimes you just can't say everything that's on your mind. You just can't. You can't do that, because people are going to misinterpret what you're saying, and they're going to read it the wrong way. And then we're going to be talking about on air.
Yeah.
That should have never came out your mouth, in my opinion.
No, it's a bad look. Jonathan's in Norristown. What's up, Jonathan?
Jonathan!
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good, Jonathan. What's up, buddy?
It's a beautiful day. You guys got the number one show, man. Y'all rock it all the time. Getting straight into that MB.
He about to set us up. We about to drop this bomb on us right now.
You guys are wrong on this.
No, not at all. But the thing is, you can't be sitting here being two ways about it. For many a weeks now, we've been talking about every commentator, every show, TV, radio, MB is playing like this player, that pass player, only five others, only three others. Oh, Joe, you on the radio. Oh, well, Embiid's saying all the right things right now. He's just concentrating, not talking about – he still ain't talking about the MVP, and all you want to say is about the one conversation. Absolutely right. He should have said, I left it all on the floor, and that's all I could do. Now, positional team-wise, the reason he is playing instead of resting is because they needed the second position for the playoffs.
Yes.
It's imperative right now because he don't know when his number two man's coming back.
Yes.
So, yeah, when he is – tired and he slips up and says it, so let it be. But one of my sons, for instance, is a LeBron James number one fan.
Mm-hmm.
But every time he talks about let's go to see them because the playoff tickets are too expensive, we can't because he's always taking off so many days just because Embiid plays them when it matters and try to get a positional for the playoffs. You can't kill him about
it. Wait a second. We're talking about LeBron taking off too many games?
Yes. Close to the end of the game, the season, excuse me.
Yeah, but he's old now, Jonathan.
No, he was doing this since they started the resting thing, right, you?
No. Oh, Jonathan. See, Jonathan, I would say there's probably 12 years in LeBron's career where he played at least as many games as Embiid's ever played.
See, I'll say this, Jonathan. When he come to Atlanta, he plays. Like, I've seen him play in games that weren't meaningful and drop about 40, drop 40 or like the Hawks. I've seen games like that. So I don't know. Every time LeBron, for whatever reason, maybe it's Atlanta, but when he comes to Atlanta, he plays. Good morning, Atlanta. I'm just saying. See, Kyle, that one. I'm just saying. When he comes to Atlanta, he plays.
Hey, you guys rock, but in the playoffs, he's gonna leave it all on the floor.
He needs to. He needs to get out the second round.
Well,
too,
he better. I mean, we'll put it that way. Jonathan Priester's call. Yeah, I think we're getting confused with old LeBron compared to other LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron is 14 years of his career playing 70 something games. Joel Embiid's never played in 70 games ever in his NBA career. Yeah, I mean, LeBron played. Now he's always banged up, but he's all 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. All right, on the other side, Hugh, we're going to talk to a guy we both know, and he might be the biggest Joel Embiid fan there
Uh-oh.
Is. I mean, he's his guy. Other side, Spike Eskin, former program director here at WIP, now at WFAN in New York. He will join us to give us his perspective on Embiid, on Jokic, the MVP. And we got to ask Spike if deep down he actually thinks Joel's a championship player. And then we'll have Howard on to chime in on what his son had to say and how he'd vote for MVP. It's all coming up along with your calls right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.